Haynesboro Assembly candidates talk heliskiing and mining, and a local artist draws inspiration from glaciers for an outdoor mosaic. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. The six candidates running for Haynesboro Assembly made the trip out to Mosquito Lake School on Wednesday night for the first forum of this local election season. About 20 Upper Valley residents gathered to ask questions and voice concerns. KHNS's Jillian Rogers reports.
The candidates this year are newspaper owner Tom Morfitt.
I love this town. I love the people that live here, and I wouldn't have stayed here for 30 years if I didn't.
Author Heather Lendy.
I'd like to be on the assembly to say, you know, why not? We could try that. Yes, let's listen.
Incumbent Diana Lapham.
Why do I want to be reelected? 3 years is not long enough.
Commercial fisherman Ryan Cook.
Everybody tries to shut down any kind of industry that starts here. And I think we need some jobs.
Bookkeeper Judy Erickson.
I've got a lot of experience with the numbers and stuff. I've been doing accounting and bookkeeping for 30, 40 years.
And business owner Leonard Dubber.
We need to cut the budget. I am definitely a budget hawk.
The assembly hopefuls scratched the surface on some big issues like the Portage Cove Harbor expansion, mining and exploration in the valley, heliskiing, and of course the borough budget. When it comes to heliskiing, most on the panel agree that too much time is spent discussing maps and regulations. In borough code, the heliski map, which defines the boundaries for commercial operators, comes up every 3 years for negotiation. Morfitt says it should be revisited every 5 years or more, and that the borough has bigger fish to fry.
My biggest gripe with heliskiing is we spend weeks, months, revisiting the issue. Where areas? We want these new areas. We want a special area. We're burning up time that we should be spending figuring out our budget, figuring out a response to these state cuts.
Lapham, who is finishing up her first term on the assembly, says the timeline for opening up the heliski map in borough code at every 3 years is there to protect both the heliski industry and residents.
If there's no new proposals, if there is no issues, the map won't be opened up. Nobody wants to open up the map. The borough does not want to open the map arbitrarily and say, okay, here's our map, now what do we want to do? No.
Lendy weighed in, saying that the rules are the rules and they shouldn't be tweaked on a whim.
I think it really comes down to listening to residents and concerns, and not every time the wind blows with a new operator or a new idea, suddenly change the rules.
For Cook, the idea of reevaluating the map every 3 or 5 years was too short. He suggested reviewing the boundaries every 10 years. Erickson agreed that enough is enough when it comes to studies. For Dubber, the lengthy back and forth over heliskiing was a, quote, waste of time and money.
We spent a lot of money on heliskiing and accomplished next to nothing. From what I can see, I'd like to see the borough out of the heliskiing business. They've started limited entry for heliskiing companies now. That's just another form of crony capitalism.
All the candidates mentioned how their brands of small-town politics would benefit the community, whether it was more involvement by government or less. Most said they wanted more collaboration with the community, especially on larger projects like the harbor expansion. Working together was a common thread throughout the two-hour forum. So was the idea of working with what we already have, as in fixing up buildings and other infrastructure around the borough. Mosquito Lake resident Joe Ordonez brought up Constantine Metal Resources, the company's exploration north of town, and the possibility of a future mine.
My question, are you willing to risk it? And how willing are you willing to risk it?
The answers varied, of course, but the consensus for all the candidates was that they were not willing to risk much, if anything, for a future mine. Here's Lendy.
So you asked, you know, what percentage would be okay, percentage of risk. As far as I'm concerned, none. The Chilkat River is our lifeblood, and it has been for this community for 6,000 years, and it sustains not only the people who live here, but two of our major industries, fishing and tourism.
Erickson agreed. She said after the forum that watershed protection is most important when it comes to development at the Palmer Project site.
You just can't risk it. There's just no risk. And I appreciate what they've done. I did do the tour, and I was very impressed at the way the road building and what they're doing. And so, yeah, if anyone's going to be able to do it, maybe they can pull it off.
If there is no risk, none of the candidates would oppose the mine, they agreed. For Cook, the idea of more jobs aligns with his platform, but as a fisherman, he says he would have to be sure the risk was low.
Everybody has their diversities that they do, and if you want to be a miner, I've got gold fever. But then you start really studying and really like that acid mine stuff, you don't want that. I can see why people don't want that here, you know?
Lapham said that Constantine employees already spend a lot of money in Haynes. She added that there's a lot of misinformation floating around, and the company's progress will be accompanied with plenty of education. Dubber said they should just leave politics out of it, which coincided with his mantra of smaller government. He said he might be for the mine if all the rules and regulations are followed.
I mean, I would lean more nearly towards supporting it, probably, but not circumventing the system that's been put in place.
Morfitt reminded the audience that the site is still in the exploration phase and said he wouldn't take a formal stance on a proposed mine until he saw a detailed plan.
But it seems to me the question will be, do they have a plan to guarantee safe disposal of the acid-generating tailings in perpetuity, forever? Now, it's unlikely that you could do that in an economic way. But I think that should be our standard.
The six candidates are running for two open seats. The municipal election is October 4th. The next candidate forum is on September 16th at the library starting at 11:45. The KH&S forum is scheduled for September 21st at 6 p.m. Find the full Mosquito Lake forum audio at khns.org. Reporting from Mosquito Lake, I'm Jillian Rogers.
Haynes ceramic artist Carrie Cohen recently finished installing a porcelain mosaic on the walls of the burnt-out Fort Seward barracks. She drew inspiration from the glaciers outside her window that have served as a breathtaking backdrop to this area for centuries. Cohen created the icy-looking, textured porcelain installation as part of the Alaska Arts Confluence's Fort Seward Sculpture Garden.
The assignment was to somehow relate the art to the lives of the people living in the fort, and or somehow relate it to the fort. And so my thought was, what do the residents, the people that lived here at that time, what do we have in common with them, and what do all of us have in common with the Tlingits and all the inhabitants of the Chilkat Valley? And so that brought up this overarching theme that it's the environment and this pretty extraordinary place where the mountains meet the sea, and we have these glacial carved features in the mountains, and it's really pretty unique. The slabs that I created in my studio are made out of porcelain, and then they're glazed with first a turquoise glaze that looks like the ice, and then I went over that with the clear. For the color, I took my glaze samples out and held them up to the glaciers, especially Rainbow Glacier, because there's a lot of really deep blue ice because it's so thick there. And so I would look at the glacier and then hold up the glaze sample. And so I picked the blue that most closely matched. Then they're cemented onto the wall in a way that I was trying to complement the textures and the features that already exist in the wall. It was really important to me to try to blend with it. And I think I successfully blended, because I have had some people come and not really even notice that the artwork was up. It's obvious that there's work here, but it does feel good that it's not shocking, or that I haven't overwhelmed the beauty of the wall. So the name of the piece is Our Shifting Foundation, and that speaks to the foundation of the barracks changing, and also the climate around us changing.
Haines artist Carrie Cohen talking about her ceramic art installation at the Fort Seward Barracks. More than a dozen local artists are involved in the Alaska Arts Confluence's Outdoor Art Project, which is funded by a grant from the Art Place America Foundation. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.